There we go. Hopefully you had a wonderful week, and we're in our second message on our series, in our series, I Speak. We have all seen, and probably you've seen, pictures on the news of forest fires, or certainly news on the fires of on the hills around Los Angeles. Huge fires spawned by Santa Ana winds. But a lot of times these fires were started by a spark. Or perhaps there was a lightning strike and all of a sudden there was a huge fire. What I want you to understand today is that 90% of these fires that start, whether in a forest or in the Santa Ana Hills around Los Angeles, 90% of forest fires are caused by human influence. Could be a match that was left unattended or thrown and discarded, a campfire that was left unattended, perhaps somebody in the neighborhood inadvertently burning debris and allowing embers to float across the horizon, perhaps someone very unattentively discarded a cigarette very carelessly, and one little spark caused the fire. A huge fire always starts with a spark. One little spark. And that is the word picture that the Bible uses to describe the power of words. The image that is used in the Bible is that a small word, a spark, can carelessly cause an incredible, difficult situation. The image that a word being released or being spoken carelessly, unintentionally, that word is like a spark, and that spark turns into a fire that can cause lots of description. In James chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, the Bible helps us to understand this powerful words. Notice what the Bible says in verse 5. In the same way. Now let's pause here for a second. Earlier, if you read earlier in the chapter, in the previous verses, James describes, in the same way, he describes a tiny bit that was placed in a horse's mouth and how that tiny bit controls a big and powerful animal. And before James uses the metaphor of a spark creating fire, he also uses the example of a rudder. When compared to a ship, a small rudder on a ship, while being very small compared to the rest of the ship, can turn this huge ship and determine the direction of a ship. And then James comes to verse 5. And he says, in the same way, a rudder on a ship or a bit in a horse's mouth, a spark. The tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But it's like a tiny spark that can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It's a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole world, your whole life on fire. For it is set on fire by hell itself. That is your tongue. That's a description of your tongue. And in so many ways, your tongue, the words that are spoken from your mouth, your tongue determines the direction of your life. Your tongue, small compared to the rest of your body, compared to the other organs in your body. It is little, it is small, but it is extremely powerful. That's what James is trying to relate to us here. He is trying to tell us the tongue is a huge, powerful instrument in your life. You may not see it or realize it or even understand the significance of the tongue. But James is trying to say here is this, that what goes on from your mouth, from your tongue, what comes forth will determine the direction of your life, and that will show forth how your life goes. The words that you speak to yourself, the words that you speak towards others, have the power of life and death. We need to see this. We need to understand it. And as strongly as James is trying to say this here, he is making a very strong case and point that our words carry weight. Our tongue has the power of life. Our tongue has the power of death. And with your words, a spark is sent out which can light our whole world on fire. A small organ, but it is disproportionately powerful. I read that the tongue is the strongest muscle in your body. In fact, your tongue is made up of 8 muscles, but what is most interesting, that this tongue, this organ, as a muscle, the collection of 8 muscles doesn't get sore. Have you ever thought about that fact? Have you ever thought that your tongue never gets sore? We speak 16,000 words on average a day. We have on average about 30 conversations with people in a day. But no matter how much you speak, no matter how much you use your tongue, it never gets sore. I've never in my entire life, I've never come home at the end of the day, sat on my couch and said, "Whew, my tongue is exhausted." Never said that. In my entire life, I've never pulled a muscle in my tongue. In my entire life, I've never had to stretch my tongue before I did exercise. See, there is something about the tongue. There is something about the tongue as a muscle. It goes and goes and goes. It never tires. Your tongue never gets tired. It never gets sore. It's somewhat like the Energizer Bunny. It keeps going and going and going. And what James is trying to tell us here is with every word that you speak, 16,000 words that you speak every single day, there in those words, there is the potential. There is the potential of the power of life. There is the potential power of death that you can speak with your tongue. Your tongue, With one word can bring about great destruction, and your tongue with one word can be a spark that can create a massive fire. For those of you who enjoy reading history, in history, a lot of pain and destruction, even war, began with words that were spoken. Some leader in some country made a speech, used words carelessly, hateful words, prideful words, slanderous words, threatening words, malicious words, and it soon escalated and turned into a skirmish, into a war, into a conflict, and everything started with a few words. Words can end a marriage. Cruel words, critical words, controlling, disregarding words, derogatory words, unkind words, words spoken created a spark that eventually wiped out a marriage. Words can make a workplace incredibly toxic. Negative words, complaining words, gossiping words, critical words. Words that can change the whole temperature within a workplace. Words can turn good neighbors into enemies. Words can divide churches. Words that are dissenters and gossipy and careless words divide the body of Christ, the church. Words are incredibly important. And how we use our words can bring either life or death into a situation. Notice what James says in chapter 1, verse 26. Notice these words. If you claim to be religious, but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself, and your religion is worthless. If you are saying that you are a follower of Christ, if you are saying that you are a Christian, but your faith doesn't change the way that you talk, notice what James says. Then your faith, all of your religion, all of your religious exercise isn't worth anything. And so the Bible is challenging us. It's saying, be careful. Be careful if you claim to be a follower of Christ with your words, because it can become very confusing to people if you say that you are a Christian, that you love God, you love His church, you love people, yet with the same tongue that you proclaim love with, you then curse people around you, or you disrespect people, or you say unkind words, or you gossip about people around you. That's what James is trying to say here. With your words, you can undermine the testimony of Christ's life. He goes on to say in James chapter 3, verse 8 through verse 12, notice these words. But no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison, and sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. Verse 10. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, James says, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No, you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. And so again, James is using these incredible images, these metaphors. And in essence, he is saying, look, look, church, look, people. If you are using words of death, words that tear down, words that destroy, and at the same time you are praising God and worshiping God, he is asking a huge question. He is saying, how is this possible? How can that be? How can you say one thing and do another thing? How can you pull, he says, fresh water and salty water from the same well? In other words, I'm going to get really practical here. In other words, you can't hug a child and you can't pray with a child and then turn around to your own children, start yelling and cursing and belittling them in public. In other words, you can't be friendly and nice to people and bless people and bring encouragement to people and then turn around and with the same mouth turn around and gossip about people behind their back. Can I be honest with you? That's the frustration of our tongue. And it's been the problem. It's been the problem even when you look back to the early days of the church to whom James is writing to. It's been a problem from the onset of the church into our day and age today. And the writer James, and through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, James is trying to identify this incredible struggle, this frustration that we all experience with our tongue, this organ that can be filled with the fire of hell itself, and yet at the same time be very kind and loving and gentle towards other people. I don't know about you. And maybe you've experienced this in your own life. But it certainly happened in my life where you say something and then later you think, why did I say that? Why did I have to say that? Where did that come from? Maybe you lose your temper or you speak sarcastically and harshly. Maybe you say something unkind towards somebody, and then all of a sudden it kind of grips your heart, and you think to yourself, where did that come from? Well, Jesus addresses that. Now, while James talks about the power of our words, the words that can create life or death, Jesus, in Luke chapter 6, describes where our words come from. Notice what he says here. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. A tree is identified by its fruit. Figs are never gathered from thorn bushes, and grapes are not picked from bramble bushes. He goes on to say in verse 45, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say, underscore this, what you say flows from what is in your heart. There is the metaphor of Jesus and how he describes where words come from. Very similar to the metaphors of what James uses. And in essence, what Jesus is saying here is what you say, what comes from your mouth, flows from what is within your heart. Your mouth, my mouth, speaks what the heart is full of. In other words, what you put into your mind, into your heart, into your life comes out with the words that you speak. The fruit of your words comes from the seeds that were planted within your heart. And Jesus says, you may think that it doesn't matter, but it really does matter. What you put into your life will come out through your words. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. Look at this verse. You brood of snakes, how could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. And in another portion in Matthew chapter 15, look at these words in verse 17 and verse 18. Anything you eat passes through the stomach and then goes into the sewer. But the words you speak come from the heart. That's what defiles you. Now, we might say and we may think to ourselves, I don't know where that's come from. I don't know how those words came out. And Jesus is trying to say something to us here. He is trying to say to us, I know where it comes from. It actually comes from your heart. You may not think of the connection that the words that you speak come from your heart, but there is indeed a connection. That's what Jesus is trying to say here in these verses, both in Matthew and in Luke. So James is saying, your words are powerful. Your tongue has the power of life and death. But Jesus is saying, and your words come from what is truly in your heart. So now we've got to come to a point where we say, with a question, what am I allowing or what am I putting into my heart, into my life that could defile the words that I speak? Notice Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. It says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Now, when you look at Hebrew culture and in the context of the culture in which the scriptures were written, the reference to the heart, where it says, guard your heart, the reference to the heart metaphorically represents the entire personhood of who you are. It's the core of your being. It's somewhat the spiritual hub, the center of your life, where all of the spokes of life are connected to. So when the Bible says, guard your heart, that's what it's talking about. Guard the very center. Guard the very essence of your being, the very core of who you are, because everything about your personhood flows from the center, the source, the core. And that's what comes out. So with your words, we have this power of life and death. And on the screen, you will see, on the screen next to my picture, you will see a list of words, two categories of words. On one category, those are the words that create sparks and fire. And on the opposite category, the opposite column, you see the opposite words. So here's what Jesus is saying as we look at these words. Here's what Jesus is saying. What's in your heart comes out when you speak. So let me look at it this way with you. A heart that is filled with bitterness speaks angry words. Yet a heart that is filled with forgiveness speaks gracious words. If I fill my heart with forgiveness I've received in the faith of Jesus, then the outflow from within my core essence of my being, the outflow should be grace towards other. A heart filled with entitlement speaks complaining words. A heart filled with gratitude speaks uplifting words. See, instead of looking at my life and looking at your life with thanksgiving and gratefulness, the entitlement that arises within us is about wanting and selfishness and envy and discontentment. And that causes, if that is in the core of my being, this attitude of entitlement, it results in words of complaining. Yet a heart that is truly filled with gratitude provides uplifting words. A heart that is filled with guilt speaks harsh words. A heart instead filled with peace speaks tender words. A heart filled with rejection speaks resentful words. A heart filled with acceptance speaks kind words. A heart that is filled with grumbling speaks negative words, yet a heart filled with thanksgiving speaks positive words. A heart that is filled with jealousy will speak words of gossip, but a heart filled with contentment will speak words of blessing. A heart filled with self-righteousness will speak critical words. A heart filled instead with hope, however, will speak encouraging words. I think you get the picture. You see, what's in our core being will come out. And when we are in this capacity of anger and complaining and harshness and resentfulness and negativity and gossip and judgmental and critical, it undermines what really should be coming out from our heart if we are attuned to allowing Jesus to guide and direct our lives. So we'll get back to the question. And I guess the question is, where do you find yourself? Which column do you find yourself in? If you were to give these two columns to family members or friends, what would they say about your life? Where do you find your life? Where, in which column would they say, are you in? Yeah, I think most of us, we would want and we would probably desire and be thought of being in a positive column. We would like to be in that positive. I personally have never met anyone who has said, you know, when I die, I want people at my funeral to get up and say, I was angry, complaining, harsh, resentful, negative. None of us would want to be in that category. But yet so often, we find these kind of attitudes come forth, and the words that we speak place us into a category that undermines not only our relationship with Jesus, but also undermines our relationship with other people. I'm sure we probably all could make the case that we would much rather be on the positive side. We would all probably make the case that if there was anything to change, we would like to move from the negative side into a more positive side, moving away from a dark place into a place where we can become more uplifting. So we need to look at the heart. We need to look at this connection with the heart a little bit more closely. And as I start moving towards closure here, I want us to take a look a little bit on how we can govern our heart so that we can speak words that are blessing to other people. See, it's not about being more disciplined. It's more about dealing with the personal issues within our heart. It's about looking at our heart, looking deeper into the issues of our heart. It's about a heart rejuvenation. It's about a regeneration of our heart. You see, behavior modification can only begin to elevate the deeper issues of our heart. Behavior modification can only begin with a deep resolution within us to bring changes into our life. And as you go deep into the core of your being, as Jesus talked about, looking at guarding your heart and understanding that your heart is the wellspring of life, that the very core, the very center of your heart determines the direction of your life that is spoken out with the words that you use. There's something very interesting I discovered recently in reading about cardiologists and what cardiologists say about the heart. They say oftentimes people have heart problems and they don't really understand or know about the true issues that may be behind the heart issues. And many times people physically go, heart issues go undiagnosed because people don't deal with the core issues. Many health symptoms are connected to cardiovascular issues. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. Trouble with vision, difficulty sleeping at night, pains in your body. People treat all these symptoms but don't realize that sometimes these very issues that we are dealing with in our life are connected to the heart. So you have to look at the physical heart. And as these symptoms may persist and be dulled by certain medications, the ultimate change can't happen until the heart issues are addressed. So let's bring it back to what we're talking about when we come and discuss words. What all of us need to decide, every single one of us need to decide, is, are we going to become more intentional looking into the root causes of why I say certain things, moving deeper into the core issues of my being and monitoring what is happening in the core of my life? Certainly, all of us want to be more positive and we all want to be more encouraging. But what do you need to do differently? As you evaluate the core being of who you are, what do you need to do differently? And what decisions do you need to make so that in the core of your being, things are being addressed so that the words that you speak will bring wholesomeness and healing into other people's lives? Studies have shown, for example, that Facebook and Instagram has created a spirit of discontentment and jealousy and a pseudo-happiness where people feel like they're missing out on something in life. They see their friends and they see classmates and they see coworkers doing certain things and enjoying life to the fullest and looking at and seeing the words of description. And soon as they read those words, there's a tendency to become critical of that person or to be filled with jealousy or even to gossip about those people. That's what studies have shown. So maybe there's this connection between the amount of time that you spend on social media and your attitude or the words that you speak. What if you made a decision to eliminate Facebook out of your life in the evenings or reduce the amount of time that you spend on Facebook? Do you think that maybe it could affect the way that you approach life or that you how you view friends or the words that you may be speaking towards others? Now, I want you to know I'm not against Facebook. I'm just saying that there may be a correlation between the feelings that you have towards somebody, the feelings of entitlement, and perhaps the complaining words that come out of your mouth. That's all I'm saying. How are you going to address those kinds of issues in the core of your being? Because the core issues affect how you view life, how you speak into life, what you say to other people, and how you create the direction of your life. Listen, in closing, listen, please listen. Our words, the words that you and I speak, will either create sparks that lead to vast destruction, or the words that I speak will bring life and healing into my environment. And I'm asking all of us, myself included, I'm asking us today, church, I'm asking us to make a decision, to make a decision to become more intentional. Guard the core of your being. Guard your heart. Because out of the abundance of your heart, that which is within your heart will overflow from your mouth. And it can make a huge difference whether your life is perceived negatively or you walk in a positive dimension. May Jesus' words to all of us bring deep inner healing to us so that our words may be filled with life. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray today that our words would truly be edifying and healing. But before that, oh God, before we engage, may each of us look deep within our own spirits, deep within the core of our being. May we discover, oh God, our own personal healing so that we can be life givers in what we say. May the words of Jesus resound deeply within us so that we all can be people who proclaim the good news of Jesus in a wholesome way, I pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you for joining us. And we'll see you next week as we conclude this series on speech. I speak. God bless you. Have a great week. If you need anything, if you have any questions, please call us, email us. We'll be happy to respond. God bless you, and have a great, great week with your family. Amen.